This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger. Our first reading this morning comes from the 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. Our affirmation of faith is in your bulletin. Let's rise and join in our affirmation of faith. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in the one God, maker and ruler of all things, creator of all humanity, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the Savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God as the sufficient rule of both faith and practice. We believe in the Church as a community for worship and for service of all who are united through the living God. We believe in the kingdom of God as the divine rule in human society and the family of all humanity under the leadership of God. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen. Our second reading this morning comes from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus responded to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." I don't know about you guys, but I have been to services at a lot of different churches in my life. Today I'm going to do some reminiscing, going back over some lessons I remember from different churches I've been to. When I was growing up, my family made a point of going to church every week. My dad would also seek out churches when we were on vacation, and I can remember as a kid going to church services in New Jersey and Washington State, and even at a campground in a national park in Colorado. Most of what I remember in my childhood, though, goes back to First United Methodist Church in Mount Pleasant, my hometown down in southeast Iowa.
That church had two services each Sunday, and my parents always drug their kids out of bed to go to the early service. The building for that church was enormous, with a sanctuary that could easily seat around 500 people. There were always just a handful of early birds on hand for the 8 o'clock service, making the place look vast and empty. My dad was hard of hearing, so we always sat clear down front, something that made me feel very conspicuous as a kid. Over the course of my childhood, the two ministers who served at that church were men called Dr. Wilson and Dr. Robinson. In those days, no one would have dared call a pastor by his first name. And while I do know that Dr. Wilson's first name was Carl, I'm not sure I ever did learn Dr. Robinson's first name. In the 70s, it was also standard etiquette to use titles, so if a minister had earned a doctorate at seminary, you called him Doctor instead of Reverend. Dr. Wilson was a meek, soft-spoken old man who was honestly one of the most boring people my younger self ever knew. I would entertain myself during church by counting the acoustic tiles on the ceiling. And my hearing-impaired father would often doze off, only to feel my mother's nudge during the sermon. Dr. Robinson, on the other hand, was a much more dynamic pastor. And even decades later, I do remember a lot of what he said in his sermons. Instead of the lectionary-based messages we're used to these days, Dr. Robinson's sermons were topical and often given in series. He did a 10-week series on the Ten Commandments, for instance, and he did another long series of sermons going through the Sermon on the Mount. One of Dr. Robinson's most common themes was contrasting the Old and New Testaments. He would often mention the 613 laws of Moses that are codified in the first five books of the Bible, and go on to point out that Jesus made all of those laws irrelevant. I think of his sermons whenever ultra-conservative churches dig out obscure passages from Leviticus to justify their hate of certain groups of people. There are so many people these days who seem to want to make others adhere to their version of Christianity in the same way that Islamic countries enforce Sharia law. If we believe in Jesus, then we don't need to be bound by the laws of the Hebrews. Instead, Jesus told us to love God and love our neighbors. The Great Commandment tells us that Christianity should really be a religion of love. So as a child in the Methodist Church, I learned about the New Covenant and how Jesus' gospel of love supersedes all the regulations of Jewish law. When I got older, I became familiar with a number of other churches. My best friend in high school was Mennonite, at least in name, if not really in practice, and I also had friends who were Episcopalian and Quaker. When I was a student at UNI, both of my roommates and also my best friend were Catholic, so I went to St. Stephen's as much as I went to the Wesley Foundation in Cedar Falls. I also became friends with some Presbyterians and Lutherans in college. While all those churches were different, their message was the same as the one I remember from childhood. Christ has given us the new covenant. He frees us from the old laws and directs us to love God and love one another. As an adult, I followed in my parents' tradition of going to church whenever I travel. I travel a lot, and I've been to a lot of churches. When I've traveled, I mostly have gone to either Catholic or Episcopal churches, because those are honestly the easiest to visit. Though I've also been to churches that were part of the Methodist, American Baptist, and United Church of Christ traditions, and also to the United Church of Canada. I have some interesting memories of all the churches that I visited. Some were memorable for strange reasons, like a church near St. Louis that I took my Quiz Bowl team to, where they made an announcement that the church would be closing as they just sold the grounds for a new shopping center developer. Another odd memory was of a historic church in Ottawa, Canada, that I visited on Christmas Eve. where the minister entered and audibly sighed when she saw that there were only about 24 people scattered around the cavernous sanctuary for what should have been one of the biggest services of the year. She then caught herself and began the service with the words of Jesus, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Most of my memories of the churches I visited are good ones, though. I remember specifics of a number of sermons I heard, and they all seem to have a theme of teaching us how we can live out Christ's new covenant. I remember going to a small church in Dillon, Colorado, just over the pass west of Denver. The church moved out of their sanctuary and held the service outdoors on a lawn that looked up at the mountains. The preacher said, quite rightly, that there's nothing to make us know the love of God than admiring the beauty of nature. Another memory I have was going to Easter Sunday Mass at a cathedral in Anchorage, Alaska. The cathedral was located right across the street from Alaska's Covenant House, a shelter for runaway youth. The priest noted that there was no better way to show our love for God than to serve other people, and he invited those who were worshiping to help serve Easter dinner to the kids at the mission. I have a similar memory from a huge Methodist church located in Chicago's Loop. On Christmas morning, that church has a hymn sing. For that service, and I think for others as well, they invite homeless people to come in off the streets and enjoy an hour of warmth in the sanctuary. I remember going to St. Louis Cathedral in the French Quarter of New Orleans not long after Hurricane Katrina. People were just starting to rebuild at that point, and much of the city was in ruins. What stood out was that they took a special collection to help rebuild churches on the Gulf Coast that had been totally destroyed by the hurricane. They noted that no matter what our circumstances are, we can always find ways to help others. Some other sermons I remember from my travels include one at a church in New York that reflected on lessons that were learned from a Habitat for Humanity project the church participated in. A church in Milwaukee where the pastor asked everyone to consider how do people see Jesus in us. And a church in Nashville where the congregation was warned not to let possessions get in the way of serving God. And a church in Los Angeles that reminded everyone to reach out to others because even in a big city, people can feel alone. What all the messages I heard in these churches had in common was that they called on people to live the new covenant, and they offered suggestions on specific ways to do that. They called on us to put our faith into action, to find concrete ways of showing our love for God and for our neighbors. For almost 40 years now, I've taught at Bishop Garrigan. While I'm not Catholic, I've been to a lot of masses as part of the school. In the time I've been there, literally dozens of priests have come and gone from the area Catholic churches. Some of them were quite memorable, others less so. There's one priest, though, who stood out more than any other. That priest was Father Peter Duc Nguyen, a Vietnamese immigrant who for many years served as priest at the Wesley and St. Benedict churches. Father Peter celebrated lots of masses at school, and no matter what the lectionary readings were, the message in his homily was always the same. He would always remind our students and anyone else who was there to listen to be good to each other. Is there any better message to remind us what Christianity is all about? It all comes down to being good, showing our respect for God and being nice to all the people God gives us as neighbors. When we treat people with kindness, respect, and dignity, we're living the new covenant. We're showing that we know God and following his ways. We're spreading God's love in all the world. While preparing this message, I came across one more thing I'd like to share with you today. It's a passage written by Anne Frank, not from her famous diary, but from an essay she wrote called Give, that was published 14 years after her death. She writes, "How lovely to think that no one need wait a moment. We can start now. Start slowly changing the world. How lovely that everyone, great and small, can make their contribution toward introducing justice straight away. First, make sure that you are always fair yourself. Give of yourself. Give as much as you can. And you can always, always give something, even if it is only kindness. If everyone were to do this, there would be much more justice and love in the world. Give, and you shall receive, much more than you would ever thought possible. Give, give again, keep it up, and go on giving. Always give something, even if it is only kindness. What wonderful words those are, with a message for all of us to follow. So remember, our faith in Christ lets us overcome the picky rules. Instead, we are guided to live by the command Jesus gives us, to love the Lord our God and love our neighbor as ourself. Keep that in mind, and you'll live the new covenant. Or, to sum it up and make it simple, just remember to be good to each other.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.